Hello, you're listening to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. If some of our discussions and tips are working for you, why don't you grab a 15-minute call with us at ecommercecall.com. We'll see whether we can help scale your e-commerce business. We will quickly see if we're a fit or whether we can recommend someone else to get you where you need to go. The worst case is you'll have a fun 15-minute chat, and regardless, you'll come away understanding a lot more about your business. Book a call at ecommercecall.com. Hello and welcome to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. Today, we've got an interview that Ian did with Marut Soysal from Segmentify. So let's get started.
Hi, Marut. How are you doing today?
Hi, Ian. I'm all right, enjoying the hot summer days of London. And what about you?
Yeah. So, we're in Manchester, which is normally raining, but it is very hot today. Very hot. It's great to have you on as the guest speaker today. Just to introduce everybody, this is Marut, and he's the CEO of Segmentify. And I'm very excited to talk with him today because he's got a lot of experience and stories and knowledge around personalization and what's happening with the space. And just before you introduce yourself properly, Marut, and tell us the history and how you got into this, what I think is really useful to show where this sits into the e-commerce journey. Now, we've known that retailers, particularly the supermarkets, have been into this type of knowledge for a long, long, long time. The time that they spend watching people walking around the supermarkets, where their eyes are looking and how they merchandise and put products together, and they'll put certain products on the bottom shelf for the children, and they'll put certain products at eye level, they'll put certain common household products like cleaning materials all short and packed on small aisles because they know you just want to grab them and go, and they'll put more interesting. So they are so far ahead. The retail space is so far ahead of online in terms of clever merchandising and personalization, but obviously with technology and with knowledge, which is where Marut comes in, we're massively catching up from an online perspective. So that's just how it's always interesting when you're finding something, you know, clever from a technological perspective on an e-commerce perspective. It's like, okay, well, what would be the equivalent in a retail bricks and mortar physical shop? And it's essentially that we're talking about. So anyway, Marut, how are you? Give us an introduction to yourself.
Thank you very much, Ian. It's a pleasure to be a guest. And just for our listeners who will have the chance to listen to this maybe a little bit later on, actually, it is 24th of June 2020, and that is my first ever pandemic experience. So we have been under lockdown for 3 months, something, now easing it in the UK. So I'm enjoying the lockdown, enjoying the COVID thing. So we are trying to recover from a real serious, actually, pandemic. Why I started this with Ian? Because I never saw myself as a quite important guy in the life. We are doing our bits, but especially after that last 3 months, I'm quite happy I am working in e-commerce domain because all the offline stores were closed for 2 months or something like that. And we were the ecosystem that is helping the rest of the actually community to cope with this lockdown and try to actually pretend like as if it is normal. So we have been selling everything in the online, shipping it. So not me myself only, but Ian as well, or all the ecosystem, not only in UK, all over the world. We have been really actually covering an important bit, a part of the life. And I'm quite happy to be in this domain, actually. So I just wanted to start with this one. So as Ian kindly introduced me, I am co-founder and CEO of Segmentify, an e-commerce personalization solution, a 40-year-old Turkish man living in UK for the last 2 years, dad of an 8-year-old son. And I'm married for almost 20 years, so it's a very young married man.
Wow.
These are important, yeah. So it's, I mean, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, I always try to make a similar introduction of myself because these are the bits and pieces that makes me of the day. I used to do research on machine learning technologies, trying to use and develop new algorithms to identify the behavior of the visitors on the websites from different various actual locations. And it took me 10 years, something like that, to make research on this. And my co-founder just convinced me 5 years before to leave that confident and comfortable academia life to jump into the entrepreneur journey, which I'm quite happy now. For the last 5 years, we have been running Segmentify, a team of 50 now, serving in 5 different countries. We have offices in Dubai, Paris, Berlin, here in UK, and in Istanbul, in my hometown, and working around 250 e-commerce companies to help them increase their revenues with e-commerce persons, which I will try to actually give some ideas what might be the best level of personalization and how it might help to each other.
So thank you very much. So essentially, I mean, the reason why I think it's very interesting to talk about this and to have Murat's experience, because you're essentially looking at the algorithms and the machine learning behind this every day. So you get a really good idea across many different e-commerce sites, where you're seeing the big gains, because it might be that, you know, some of us can apply this just on the level of thinking about the journey. And one of the easiest stories, I think, to start with and to show how this is relevant is where over the years, what's happening now. If you go back 5 or 6 years ago, typically people used to go on the e-commerce sites like this. They'd start on the homepage, they'd go through the category page, and then they go to the product page. By the time they got to the product page, they knew where they were within the site, and they could quite easily then go back into the category page and then start their journey. And it was very much like home, category, product. And now it doesn't work like that because of Facebook product ads and Instagram and Google Shopping. The people are landing on the product pages first. And so essentially they're almost like, it's like sort of picking somebody up in a shop from the outside of the shop and just plonking them in the middle of the shop with putting one product in the hand. They don't really know where they are. And, and it's the same thing. And that's what's happening now. So, you know, the first time they glimpse at the website is they're looking at the product page, and the stat that we're seeing is that the bounce rate of the product page is just massively increased. And the bounce rate, of course, is the stat that means that they don't click on anything, just they bounce back into Google. And it's seeing that's that. And so for the first time visitor that comes through Google Shopping and lands on that product page, it's a very different experience to someone who's been to the site 3 or 4 times, looked at that product twice already, and they're coming back just to reassure themselves about pain points. So, you know, what's your experience in that area, Murat?
I mean, very well said, Ian. Just somebody landed to our webpage where 2 seconds before he or she was watching a cat movie. And we brought her to the webpage and just show her a product. But this should be differentiated, as you said, to another visitor who has been here for the last 1 week and checked this product and similar products 4 or 5 times. So definitely these two stories are telling different things to us. You should be able to, as the e-commerce companies, we should be able to identify these different behavior, although now they landed to the same page, seeing the same product, but they are actually in the different phases of the conversion funnel. So our famous conversion funnels are actually still valid, but we just need to identify which visitor is at which stage of that conversion funnel. Not only the product page, it is same with the category pages or the listing pages as well, because most of the time we land our visitors to the listing pages as well. Let's see our summer dresses now. When they click it, you just welcome them with a list of summer dresses, but you welcome every single visitor with the same order, with the same products. But actually, some of them we know are existing customers, which we know their sizes and which we know their styles. We know which products they already bought from us or brought from us. So we can actually predict how much money they are willing to spend for a single dress, because we know they used to buy the always top priced shoes from us. So they might be a Supercrema customer. So should I show them the same ordinary products, or should I highlight Supercrema or top priced products of mine to that specific user, where I know one of my discount seeker is also landed to the same listing page. So I should highlight the discounted products to her or him. So that all depends on how we can identify that specific customer, just like a sales assistant in the physical store. When a sales assistant actually meets you, they make an observation. They see the style you are wearing, your clothes. Maybe if you are with somebody together, they just listen how the tone of your voice, the way you talk to each other. So they try to identify your needs very immediately, quickly. So I think in the e-commerce, for the next phases, we should be trying to do a similar way of identification of our visitors. And then immediately we need to actually change the look of our webpage, the products we show them, the way how we represent them to each individual visitor.
Yeah, it's exactly like what a really good shop assistant should do or would do naturally, isn't it? You know, exactly. You know, if someone's bought from you before and they came in your, you know, your boutique fashion store, you'd say, "Hi, you know, Jane, how are you doing? It's lovely to see you again. Oh, you know, is that your daughter with you? Oh, you know, so cute. Right, listen, I've got some things I know you're going to love. Let me show you. You know, I know your size. I've got them ready." It's just exactly what you do in a real store. And this is what we're trying to replicate, trying to make it much, you know, much more warm experience. Aren't we? Yeah. And I think that's really interesting, isn't it? So that's for you. What you touched on there is two things. You touched on recruitment. So how we can actually get the conversion rate up for new customers. That's where we started. So we were saying that actually when a new customer lands, they've been watching a cat video on YouTube and they come through to the site, the first thing we do is we don't want them to bounce off. So we want to show a lot more product, a lot more alternative product. If they're looking at a cat collar, a red cat collar, you know, if we don't want to show one red cat collar, and even if they love that red cat collar, then, you know, they need to know whether or not they're going to love other cat collars more. So we have to show more product, just like you would in a real, you know, shop. If you're going over to the pet counter with the collars, you're gonna see all the collars together. So that's why I think we were saying in some cases you create that hybrid of product versus product listing page. And I think Wayfair is quite a good example of that, the Wayfair company. If you if everyone do a search now for red rug, you know, and click on a Google Shopping, and you'll see what that landing page looks like. You know, it's got the red rug at the top that you clicked on, but then underneath that you've got all the other red rugs. Now, of course, on Google Shopping you have to let them buy the product they've landed on, so you have to have that at the top. But that's really interesting. How, and then obviously then the art, you know, because you could then tailor that for existing customers or new customers. So that's from a recruitment perspective. And you know what, I think it's an interesting stat. So we always say that if your product pages are bouncing more than 60%, you know, it's too high. You know, so that's sort of a, you can see this in Google Analytics now. You know, you can say, well, okay, from Google Shopping, what is our bounce rate of people that land on our product pages? And if it's more than 60%, then you know that there's an area to improve that, isn't it?
So, I mean, one note on this, Ian. The difference between the physical shop and somebody landed to our online store from the Google Shopping feed, they actually, most probably, are not yet engaged with the brand, our shop. Yeah. They do not know where to go. That visitor knows, yes, I was looking for a red dress, and now I am looking to that red dress. But they do not know I am on this store. So we first need to get engaged with them. If this is not an existing customer, hey, look, there are more products, alternatives or similars of the product you are looking for, and spend more time on my website, which basically in the technical term decrease the bounce rate, but in the business wise, let's see more products from my brand, so I will have more time to tell about my brand to you, because I want to get engaged with you. That is the main part of buying as well. So you need to trust me, you need to understand what kind of products I have. So, and the very first thing we can do to prevent that customer to bounce or that visitor to bounce is to let them click one more product from my page. And this is, this can only be done by actually putting some widgets on the web page. So that these are the details, but the main idea is to get them engaged with the brand. So spend more time on the
page. And that's it. Then, and at this point, they're not necessarily bothered about the price or the delivery. They're bothered about, is this the right product? First, and then once they've found the right product, then we start talking to them about, you know, answering the deliver, the pain points, the anxieties. And so, you know, the reason why we'd want to do personalization in this way is because we want to increase the conversion rate, and obviously we increase the conversion rate, we increase the revenue. But if you break the conversion rate down, you've got three steps. You've got, okay, how many people add to basket, how many people go from the basket to the checkout, and how many people go from the checkout to placing their order. So it's in three areas. And typically the one that most e-commerce sites suffer with is the add to basket stat. So that's how many people add to basket. And that's typically where in most cases the bigger gains are. And the reason why they won't be adding to basket is because the bounce rate will be too high. So if we can reduce the bounce rate, we can increase the add to basket rate, which then increases the conversion rate, which then increases the revenue. And so that's how it works. So on average, you know, across the board, you'd say that 10% should add to basket, 55% should click from basket to checkout, and then 85% should click checkout to order. So what Marette's talking about here is, how can we get more people adding to basket, which is more people in the basket, more people in the basket, more people in the checkout, more people are going to place the order. So it's about getting more people in the funnel. So it's how it's how the maths work. You know, it's, you know, and by reducing the bounce rate, we're going to get more people. More, that's how we're going to get the conversion rate up. So I think that's really interesting, and so much you can do, isn't there, around that area to get that add to basket stat up. It's quite fascinating. So one of the other things that we were talking about this earlier today was, so from a recruitment perspective, you know, it's clear. It's like, you know, you can tailor the experience to what a new customer, or a customer who has not bought yet, what they need. They need a lot more alternative products and convincement. And then let's then assume now that we've got the customer, they've bought, and we want to increase the lifetime customer value, because obviously the two main metrics that we all know and love about e-commerce is, number one, how much does it cost us to recruit a customer? And number two, how much is that customer worth to us over a lifetime? So that's it. That's e-commerce in less than 20 seconds. You know? And so the second one is, okay, how much is that customer worth to us over a lifetime? Mm-hmm. I think that's also where you've seen some big gains, haven't you, within personalization? So you were talking before about baby products.
Yeah.
And how that lends itself. Just talk us through that story.
Definitely, that lifetime value is the next thing we should focus on after acquisition and converting those customers, and focusing on the customer acquisition cost for sure. When I founded Segmentify, my son was around 3, and I actually made most of the investments for his toys and clothing and everything, actually. So I was kind of an expert on this domain, and I don't know if it was by luck or not on purpose, I know, but most probably based on my know-how as well. First 2-3 customers of Segmentify were from the baby clothing vertical. And what I realized there, Ian, actually, if you can identify the age of the actually baby of the parent, you have a long time to predict what they will need next. So from age of minus 3 months, so perfect. So you are pregnant, or your wife partner is pregnant, so you are expecting. So when is the due date? It's 3 months later. Awesome. So I know now what you will buy next 9 months. So from age 0 to 3 years, 36. Actually, in average, we know when somebody should buy what, which clothes, which toys, what kind of books, what kind of car seats when they are toddlers. So it's basically, I can actually predict, then represent to you with any actually medium I use to talk to you. I can do it on my website. You have a 9 months old now, because 3 months before you bought a specific product that is valid for 6 months old. So for 9 months old, you should buy this. Even I have a discount for 1 year old boys products, and I know you will buy it in the next 3 months, but it's good for you to buy it now. So I can even knock the door and come in. You should buy this in three months. So, and then it's 20% discounted now. Why you don't buy it now? I can do it with my SMSs. I can do it with my emails, push notifications. The medium depends. It is another topic, but you should be able to identify what they need. And especially for the baby, for example, it's awesome. You have 40 months almost to engage with this customer and get a lot of money, because they will spend this money. You can help them. And this is not only increasing the revenue. I really believe in having the engagement, a relationship with the customers. If you help me, I am a busy dad. If you help me what I will need for the next 2 months, I will be more than happy, actually. If you tell me, hey, you need to buy these books because your son is getting older and he needs more complicated comprehension, actually. So you need to read these books to your son. Awesome. What a perfect way of engaging with your customers, because they will feel like, okay, they understand me. They serve me. What will I need even? So that is one perfect way of increasing the lifetime value from the customer. So this is for baby vertical, but we can actually map this to any vertical we have, actually.
Yeah, but it's adding value. I mean, it's a great example that of lifetime, promoting lifetime customer value, you know, which essentially is getting them to buy again. You know, and it's so important with the e-commerce journey. You know, you can't have if you focus purely on recruitment, you know, and you then don't have any retention strategy, you know, you're missing out. It's like the golden nugget of e-commerce, because it's essentially, you know, it's free, you know, because you pay to recruit them, typically through, you know, a paid marketing channel. And of course that costs a lot of money to do so, and you've got your conversion rate, but then of course it's email and SMS, really, isn't it, the main drivers of repeat business?
Sorry to jump into this. Even what we did once for one of our customers, we give them which products they should print into a brochure that they will put into the parcels they are shipping to their customers.
That's cool.
That's a good idea. I mean, the thing is, first you need to know your customer. Then you need to know your assets, products, and do the matching. What I should offer next to this specific customer. Yeah. That is perfect.
Yeah, and presumably it takes time to get that knowledge, doesn't it? You know, the longer it sits there, the more you learn. I mean, it's probably initially the owners of the businesses have a fairly good idea of, right, this is what I think, you know, the structure is. But it was interesting. We found with when we were looking at lifetime customer value with a men's fashion retailer, we found that on average we were getting about 2 orders a year off the customers, but there were certain customers that were buying 4 or 5 times a year. And of course, we wanted to know, well, who are they? And we saw that it was the people that bought the larger sizes were more loyal than the ones who bought the normal sizes. And I think it's because they liked the fit they got used to fit, and they didn't want to, because there was a larger size, they wanted then to, they were more loyal. And so therefore it allowed us to recruit those customers. So we spent more money on recruiting those customers. And you know, it's quite an interesting, if you really understand your lifetime customer value, if you really understand who your customers are, what's the job to be done, and you're providing them with a great personalized examples of what they should be buying, then I think, you know, you've cracked it.
It's
so much more profitable, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I have another anecdote, a quick story on this.
Yeah, cool.
Actually, the current level of personalization being applied in the e-commerce now is kind of almost 20 years old. 20 years before Amazon actually introduced all of us the famous thing called the collaborative filtering. Customers who bought this also bought this. Customers who viewed item also viewed this item. Now they have 25 different variants of this algorithm, but it is almost the same thing. So from there, yes, I mean, even for most of e-commerce companies, adapting that technology is still helping a lot. So if you don't have this, you need to do this. But I deliberately today want to talk about what will be the next step for all of us, providing that actually personalization from that perspective. And I want to tell a story on this, because still I'm learning a lot about e-commerce after 5 years as a researcher. It's quite funny, very lovely to be actually in the ecosystem. It was like this in Istanbul. When we launched in Germany, it was like that. And here in UK for the last 2 years, it's a lovely ecosystem. It's small one, we don't have that much. So maybe 500, at most 2,000 actually volunteers of e-commerce helping the community all together. So what I learned, 60% of the men in the world wear size 9 shoes. It's a huge amount, actually, when you think about all the available sizes. 60% is the major amount. And we have been working with major shoe retailers all over the world. And what they say, if a size 9 shoe is not available in stock, they call that product as a broken stock. And even when they are putting that product into their listing pages, category pages, and they want us also to do it, please do not highlight this product a lot, which means do not put this product into first one rows of the filtering page or in your recommendation widget, because that product is not available size 9, and we know 60% of our all visitors needs size 9. Perfect idea, very good, right? I mean, that is one way of doing business. But I am size 10. So actually, as the customer, as the visitor, I don't mind if 60% of the visitors or overall are size 9. I am 100% size 10. So if that product is available size 10, please put that product into the first row of your listing page. It is a very well-performing product for you. It is out of stock. You sold a lot of these ones. People love that product, that shoe. I would love that as well. It is available in my size. Why don't I like this? Why you are behaving me like I am an ordinary man, but I am not. I am in that 40%, remaining 40%. So that averages, statistical analysis are not helping us always. So what we should do in a granular level, even uniqueness, we need to provide a personalized customer journey for every single visitor comes to our webpage, and that should be real, real, real personalized for that specific visitor. It's a big missing opportunity, actually, from that perspective. So that story from my side, we started doing, okay, size 9 is quite important 2 years before. Then we realized, but we are still missing a big opportunity. Let's try to do this in a uniqueness level. So do something very unique to that unique visitor.
Yeah, it's definitely true, isn't it? It's very exciting about how the technology is allowing us to do these things.
Yeah,
it really is. Yeah, well, it's been great. Yeah, I think it's been really good. Where can we find you, Moret, if we need to ask more questions about this?
Yeah, I mean, segmentify.com is the landing page for the company, and anything from that contact form or our online chat is helping my team to reach me if there is something specific to myself or for the company-wise. But I am quite active in LinkedIn, Ian. So I try to reply to questions as well. As a researcher, I still am connected with a lot of students over the world, regardless who wants to do some research on recommender systems, data, you know, that famous big data and AI. So all those buzzwords are now under my expertise for the time being. So I'm getting a lot of inquiries on this as well, but LinkedIn is the perfect way to reach me, myself, and website is the perfect way to reach company overall.
Awesome. That's great. Well, thanks very much, Moret. That's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much, Ian. That was a lovely discussion. I am getting quite passionate and excited to talk about the next phases of the e-commerce. And just let's finish with this famous Corona thing. Now we understand more the importance of e-commerce. So we should be aligning together, you thought leaders, us, the technology partners, and the e-commerce actually companies, and actually the teams that are managing e-commerce companies. We should align to define what is next in the new normal, how we can actually help ourselves and the public and the community around ourselves to serve a better service for them, because now e-commerce is one of the crucial parts of the life.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Thank you very much for hosting me, Ian.
Thank you, Moret. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Bye. Cheers.